Gabe, what's going on, man?
What's going on, Mike? How you doing?
I'm great. Appreciate the time. If you don't mind, for those who don't know you or Game Time Elite Training, can you give them a background story? Starting 2 years ago.
So pretty much played 4 years of varsity basketball. Throughout high school, like my later years in high school, I started training some kids. My dad ran like a little feeder program for the high school, the local high school, and I was helping them out, and some kids wanted to do some training, so I started training them about like my junior year. Trained those kids for a few months, and they started getting better, and they started asking if they could bring a couple friends. And so I started training a little bit more kids little by little. I ended up going to a JUCO. Actually, so throughout high school I had a bunch of knee injuries. I dislocated my kneecap 4 times, and then I broke my tibia once. So it sidelined. I only played my full sophomore year, full junior year, and then I only played 10 games my freshman year, 6 games my senior year. So I was talking to some schools, D3 schools, NAIA schools, and they ended up telling me, you're probably just gonna need to go JUCO, because obviously D3s don't offer athletic scholarships and whatnot. So had to go JUCO route, went JUCO for a year. I ended up tearing my meniscus, after the first season, and I was just like, I'm done. I'm just gonna focus on training, get a job. I worked at a little gym in my town, worked like the front desk, and so I was training kids doing that. And so I started training the kids that I was working with, throughout high school a little bit more. And they just got into high school when I stopped. So, working with them, working with some of their friends, just grinded it out, for a while. And then, eventually got to where I am now. Oh, I can't hear you, Myson. You're on mute.
You dislocated your knee 4 times, tore your meniscus, and fractured your tibia. You,
Yep, tibia. Yep, exactly. Yep.
bro, what makes you come back after like the fourth dislocation or the or any of that?
Yeah, honestly, man, like I was just hungry, man. Like from a young age, I just wanted to play college basketball. I wanted to play professional basketball, and that was like a goal of mine. And I was just always super determined. And there was times, believe me, like I wanted to quit. I would tell myself all the time, I'm gonna quit. Like, why me? Why is this happening to me? And there was a lot of times where I almost gave up, but I just wanted it, and I didn't want to give up, on my teammates, because we had a really good high school team, and I didn't want to give up on them. And I just wanted to chase my dream, And then it got to a point where I was just in college, and I was training kids, and I finally dislocated or tore my meniscus. And at that, especially at that level, JUCO ball is high level basketball. We had a couple. I mean, pretty much our whole starting lineup went to play D2s after the D2 school after that year. And it was just super high level basketball, man. And it just set me back a lot. I had to learn how to freaking walk again, learn how to jump and do all that stuff. And it was just, especially at that level, it was just too hard. And I already went through so much stuff. So I was just like, I'm just, done with that. And I'm just gonna focus on training kids. But yeah, it was just didn't want to give up,
Ryan Buchan, Two Hands Basketball, he has a similar story. I don't think he had as many injuries as you, though. But he has a similar story where he, I don't know if he says depressed, but he definitely was down and sad until he, started helping out at IMG and training and realizing, okay, he can still fulfill his passion for basketball through that. You kind of already had that going for you, though. So did you just, when did you start to really, from the injury until you really started picking up on the basketball training piece full time, that gap until you realize, oh, I can still hoop, I can live out my hoop dreams and enjoy the game of basketball through training, even though I'm done with playing?
So honestly, like throughout high school, like I was obsessed with Devin Williams, Devin in the lab. And I was always used to watch his videos, and I was like, 'cause I honestly was like, I don't even know what I want to freaking do when I get older throughout high school. I was like, I don't know what the heck I want to do. I was thinking about being a sports performance trainer, And as I started getting older, you know, and getting into college, I was like, yeah, I don't want to be a sports performance trainer, you know. And I was already, like I said, training a couple kids, and I really enjoyed it. And I was like, honestly, like, I think I can do this. I saw other people doing it, you know, like at the time it was like Devin Williams was really big. J-Law was really big. I mean, they still are big, but they were pretty much like the prominent ones, the only ones that were doing it like full time, you know. And I was actually worked out with, sorry if you can hear the dog barking in the back, but
I'm going ham
I actually was working out with Jordan Lawley a few times, you know, maybe once or twice a month, because he'd come down to San Diego and I'd worked out with him, you know. And I was like, damn, I think, you know, this is something I can do. And I didn't really think too much of it, but then, you know, finally when I was done playing, I really started to take it a little bit more seriously and try to do it, you know, way more.
So did J-Law hit you up on that internship program, or did you hit him up? How did you get connected with him?
No. I worked with him. He actually, so when I hit up Tony, I forgot how to say his last name, TVB Ball, Tony Vassaturo, I want to say it is, his other trainer. Cause like he followed me on Instagram. And so I hit him up, you know, I was like, I want to come, you know, learn from you guys and help you guys out. And I'll do anything I can to get up there and help you guys out, whatever. And just learn, you know, I'll rebound, freaking clean the floors, do whatever. And so right. He was like, oh man, that's awesome. Whenever he told me I could come out. And, I actually didn't. So last time I worked with J-Law, so this was 2 years ago when I worked with J-Law, right. And I went up there, I worked out with him. Last time I worked out with him was like 3 years prior to that. And like I said, I only worked out with him maybe like once, twice a month. And it was only maybe for like a span of 4 months, maybe. Right. So I didn't see him too much. And at first he was like, dude, you look really familiar. You know, like as I was talking to J-Law, and he was like, you look really familiar. And then he was like, don't tell me, you know, don't tell me who you are. I know who you are and whatever. And then he finally clicked and he was like, oh yeah, I used to work with you up in San Diego. And he remembered, you know, the whole thing. But I was
like, you trained with him as a trainee at first and then as a trainer.
So I used to, like, he used to work me out, right? He used to do like groups and like clinics up in San Diego, like on Sundays, I think it was. And so me and a couple of my friends, we would go work out with him, you know. And he had like 10, 12 kids in the gym, you know, every Sunday. We'd do that once, twice a month. And then it finally clicked, because like back in the day, I used to have a buzz cut. I never had this hair. So it took him a minute to figure out, you know, who I was, but then, you know, he remembered. But yeah.
Hey, did he have the Prius then? Did he have the Prius then? The orange Prius
that
he
was back in the day? No, actually, this was, I think he just upgraded. I forgot what he had after the Prius, but he had something super nice. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I remember, he was telling us about that though when we were like working out with him, but he had something different. I can't remember what it was, but yeah. So ended up going there for a day and helping him out with like NBA pre-draft stuff. And it was just NBA pre-draft stuff. So working with, we had like a guard workout and then they had a workout with the bigs and stuff.
What would you say you realize as a trainee now that you do as a trainer that helped you, or that you kind of model your training after? How did doing both sides of that help you as a trainer?
That's a good question. Can you repeat the question one more time?
Yeah, it wasn't worded very well at all. The spirit behind it. Like, so you were a trainee at one point, and now you're a trainer. You've worked with him as an athlete, and you've worked with him as a trainer, from what I'm hearing. How has that influenced you with what you do now, with your style of teaching now?
So I would say, like, when I was working out, I didn't realize, you know, how detailed, you know, he was very detailed. And he's still he is detailed. I think, you know, I haven't worked with him in a couple of years, but he was very detailed back in the day. And, you know, he broke things down to where, you know, you can really understand it, you know, because I was learning new stuff. I didn't really know some of the stuff he was teaching. I never seen it before, you know. But the way he dissected everything was awesome, and it, you know, really helped me absorb that information, you know, and then apply it into like games and stuff. And then his energy was you know, out the, like, it was crazy. Like, energy was always on 100, you know, he was always, you know, hyping us up, you know. Even like if we did mess up, like, he'd still like, wouldn't be like, oh, what the hell? Like, are you sure he's missing wide open leg? Like, he'd like still like find some way to cheer you up, make you happy and whatnot. I would say I really took, when I learned from him, is detail, energy, and then like just his leadership ability. That's what I really took from him when I was working out with him. And when I helped him out, you know, that one day, and I see a lot of his stuff on social media and as well. And so I can kind of get a grasp from that.
Speaking of social media, you've been doing this full time for 2 years, 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What was that decision like when you, but I'm going to ask about social media next. What was your emotional psyche like when you decided to quit from the front desk at that job, wherever you were working? Uh-huh. What was that decision like when you quit and went full time with the training?
Honestly, like, I had no clue what the heck I was doing. Like, I literally probably was working out 10 kids, maybe like 10 kids. And I was still in college. I was going into my second year of college. And I had no idea what the heck I was doing, but I was still, you know, living at home. I didn't have to pay rent yet because I was still going to school. So I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to just try to make this thing happen. And I would just literally have my phone out, record at every single session, you know, record at every single session. And I would just try to hustle and get more kids. I'd try to find kids out in San Diego and get at them to see if they would want to, you know, come in and work with me. But yeah, it was definitely rough to start, man, because I literally had no clue what the heck I was doing.
What are you, why did you go so hard on social media? What did you see a benefit? Did they help you get clientele? What was your thought process with that?
So honestly, like, Gary V inspired me. Gary Vaynerchuk, he was been preaching for the longest time, you know, you got to post on social media to build a brand, to build awareness, you know, post 2 to 4 times a day on every single platform. So that really like stuck with me. And I would, when I first started, I pretty much like 2 years, two to three years ago, I'd post like every single day, like literally, like even when I wasn't doing it full time, I'd still like post every single day. Just because I thought, you know, I had to, you know, just to build awareness, and actually like helped a lot. I ain't gonna lie. Like, I spent a lot of time putting out content. That's where I kind of grew my following from, was back those 2 years ago. I'd post literally like 2 to 3 times a day, 2 minimum. And then, you know, some days I'd get 3 posts in there. And that's really what, you know, grew my following.
These are detailed posts too. Like, I remember your edits. Yep. I'm like, yo, this is like, and he was consistent across the board with the branding. I'm like, yo, what software were you using? We talked about it before. The Clips software or something different.
Yep. It was Apple Clips. And so the way I was doing it, I honestly never saw it like me. So they would use Clips, but I found out like a little thing, you can screenshot like a little moment in the video, and you can put it into Clips, right? So you can get to someone making a crossover, and then you screenshot that part right when they cross it over. And so then you put it into Clips, and now you're able to, you know, put down the details of all the crossover and whatnot. And so I was, had that down, you know, and I'd bust out 2 or 3 videos of that every single day, but it'd take me like an hour to freaking edit it, you know, but I didn't care. I'd spend 2 hours a day editing, and I did not care because that's all I was trying to do. And I'll just post those, and it helped, you know, I grew my following. But then after a while, I haven't posted a video like that in almost 2 years now, probably. Maybe like a year and a half.
The interesting part about that, because your brand was like, before I even knew you, I knew your name, and I also knew the way that you did the Apple Clips and edited the posts for Instagram was different. You know, like, because I think Mike Dunn was the first guy, and then I forget the trainer's name, but for you, you did it differently than any other trainer I had seen on Instagram. So question for you is, I talked to, I don't know if you know Nick Aldero.
I know Nick.
Nick's posting, like, he's consistent. He's been posting for like 3-4 years straight, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just had an interview with him, And he said he thinks social media is overrated. Now, of course, he posts on it. He's habitually posting because it's what he's gotten used to.
Yeah.
And for him, I guess he's trying to market to a global audience. So he can't help the kid in India in person like he wants to versus the kid that's coming to New Jersey for you. It helps you build your following. It helps you grow. But did it benefit your in-person training the way you thought it would?
Yeah. So honestly, like going back to Nick, like, we talked to him about kind of like, we talked about social media kind of together a few weeks ago. And then I heard that podcast and he actually got me like thinking. I was like, when I heard that and he said it's overrated, you know, I was like, honestly, I was like, why? Like, I don't know why I've been so consistent. Like I always post, you know, every single day and I do, you know, I was inspired by Gary Vee. And then like, I honestly have not been growing on like IG, like at all. Like I listened to his thing too. And we talked about it. Like I've lost followers as well. And I have no freaking clue why. I've been like, even though I don't post 2 to 3 times a day anymore, I still post, you know, 6 to 7 days a week, you know, once a day. And I'm losing followers and I have no clue, you know, why. And so, he got me thinking too. I was like, why, you know, why do I post, you know, so much, you know, it is a habit, I think, you know, now too, for me. But I was got me thinking about that. And I forgot, you said you asked a different question. I forgot at the end.
I forgot. I guess has it helped
you losing
followers, but has it helped you in your in-person training business?
No, it has not. It has not helped me. I mean, okay, I would say maybe the past 2 years. I don't know the exact numbers, but I'll just say off the top of my head, probably gained maybe 10 clients over time. And maybe not all those kids are still training with me, right? There's only maybe 2 or 3 kids that are still with me to this day. But it has not really helped me at all in person. You know, it's helped me from like an online standpoint, you know, selling some of my like online products a little bit, but I mean, it's nothing crazy, honestly. Like, it hasn't really helped me in person.
Which is wild, man. When I ask these questions, I'm not trying to like be polar or make people sway a certain way. I'm just asking people who've done that junk. Like Nick's been consistent. You've been consistent. You built, in my opinion, a large following. And I've always wondered, like, how do you turn that educational content into because you're doing it the right way. I mean, you're posting stuff, you're posting videos that highlights the kids you're training, the athletes you're training, but it also gives education to people on a global or nationwide scale. You know what I mean? So I'm trying to figure out what that gap is because, yeah, like I listen to Gary Vee too, bro. Like I literally heard my man say, he said, and he's weird because like he actually texts back. He's tweeted back at me like 2 times.
Okay, that's cool.
In the last video, the video I was looking at, he was saying communicating on social media. He was talking about the high school party rule, and he was saying communicating on social media is just as important as managing your checkbook, being able to pay your taxes, and what we were talking about before this podcast interview, managed by the numbers. And I'm like, yo, that's pretty important. Yeah. That's huge. So, what do you think that gap? If you were being objective, what do you think that gap is between? Man, it got me 10 at first, but it hasn't done anything for me lately. Where's that gap that you think is in your social media approach or strategy?
Honestly, I don't even know what it is. Like, what do you mean by gap?
The gap between like, hey, this, I'm doing it, I'm consistent, I don't know why, it's a habit, but is, I really don't think it's helping me right now in terms of growing your training base, like the kids that you're training with and getting you more people to fill out that next group session or whatever the case may be, whatever the goal is.
Yeah, I honestly, like, that's a good question. I honestly don't know what it is. Maybe people were so in love with like the breakdown stuff and being so detailed, you know, they like the detail, and I honestly don't do that stuff anymore. That's not even really how like I train kids anymore anyways either. Like I don't really like get it. Like I'm detailed, but I don't break it down like every single thing, you know? Maybe if I went back to that, it could help, but I just don't want to do it because it just takes too much time and it's just not how I really teach like that anymore. So it wouldn't be, you know, I wouldn't feel right doing it. I'd rather just post, you know, what I do in sessions and, you know, give people information that way. Because I still think it's informative and it's still helping people learn, but it's just a little bit different now. Some posts, you know, do really well, and then some just, you know, stink, but I don't really like trip over it. I don't like get all mad, you know, and think the whole day is ruined. But if it does well, it does well. If it's not, then it's cool. I'm cool with it.
Yeah, man. I'm so glad you're being open and sharing this too, because it's, for me, I feel like a lot of trainers are going to be, some of them are going to be like, man, I knew it. Like, they're going to have confirmation. And others are going to be like, man, what the heck? Like, why am I doing this junk? And like Nick was saying, it definitely can help, but he thinks people overrate how much it can actually help. And I don't know, man, I'm trying to figure out, because I do see your content, I do see your posts. And for me, I'm scrolling so fast, like it's rare that I actually stop and look and watch. And it's at the point now, the feed is so cluttered, in my opinion, that whatever has your attention it's just good. Like, just seeing the name in and of itself is good. I don't know if kids are actually stopping to watch it. I imagine they are, but I'm just trying to find that gap, man, the anchor, like, okay, social media can help. It's not all about the money. It's all about helping people out. But how do you bridge that gap between I'm helping with social currency and, or it's helping with actual currency with more trainees coming in the door. So I'm just going to be asking a bunch of people this question. So I'm glad you contributed to that.
And one thing I'll say is, like my goal has always been to help as many people across the world as possible. So, you know, that's kind of been like a reason, I guess, too. Like, I've been consistent with it. But I'm trying to find, you know, more ways to be efficient with my time, you know, because like I said, I used to spend 2-3 hours a day just editing, like every single day. And now I don't even do that. Like, so like what I do now just to be more efficient with my time is I'll record just my session. So like, I'll have a cameraman, he'll just come shoot one of my sessions. He does all the editing, you know, and then I just maybe pull small, because I put, like, I don't know if you follow me on YouTube, but on YouTube I post like full workout videos. So it'll be like a 20 to, you know, 25 minute video. And so I have a bunch of clips in there, and I'll just chop those up and I'll just put them on my feed. You know, that way I don't have to do a ton of editing. It takes me 5 minutes to do that. And then, like, I'll pull out my phone sometimes in sessions and I'll shoot a quick video of the drill and I'll do like a voiceover. And that takes me, you know, 10, 15 minutes maybe. So now I have a video, you know, for every single day, and I don't have to worry about going outside of my time and going to shoot a breakdown video. And it takes, you know, an hour to 2 hours to shoot videos for the week. And then I have to go, and it takes another 5 to 6 hours to edit all of them, you know, so I don't really do that anymore. I've been trying to be more efficient with my time, and hiring a cameraman, you know, it's helped a lot. You know, it saves me a lot of time, because he just does all the editing. I might just have to go trim a clip to put it on social media real quick, and that's about it, you know. So I've been doing a lot better with scheduling and timing.
Explain that for me again. So you have a cameraman come, he records the entire workout. You may like trim the clip. Do you save it through YouTube? Does he send it to your phone? Like, cause he has an Apple product too, or do you download it from Google Drive? What's your process for all that?
Yeah. So I hire him. He shoots, you know, the whole workout. He trims it up, edits on himself. It's like a raw cut video, you know, cause I've noticed on YouTube, the raw videos, like for workouts and games, or do the best, you know, and then the highlights and mixtapes, you know, do good, you know, kind of on IG and stuff, but that's more for like in-game stuff. But for workouts, I feel like the raw footage does a lot better. But anyway, so I have him, you know, shoot the whole video, then he edits up, then he'll either send it to me on Dropbox or Google Drive. And then I save it, you know, to my laptop. I'll get it to my phone, and then I just go from there, and I'll edit it up on iMovie, or I use other app called LumaFusion. And so I just use those two things, and there's the video.
And the voiceovers are more so for IG, like you record the workout on your phone while you're there, maybe show the trainees some film. Mm-hmm. And then after the session, you like slow it down, voiceover on it, post it.
Yep. So like what I do is if I like, maybe there's like something I haven't posted before, or, you know, something I think it's important, I'll just pull my phone out. I'll record. I'll just leave it recording for like a minute. And then boom, if someone, like, sometimes people don't even make a shot or people don't even hit it, but I don't really care. Like, I'll just post it in there and the kids don't really care, you know, obviously, because people think, you know, oh, you have to be perfect. This kid sucks. He can't freaking make a shot. But I'm like, dude, it's like everyone misses shots. I know you miss shots when you're working out and stuff, you know, so I'm not really like tripping about it, because like people think everything's got to be perfect. I've had people be like, oh, this dude just missed a jumper. Like, he can't shoot. I'm like, really? You're judging him off of one jumper? You've never missed one in your life? Like, but
Come to a session.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. But yeah, so I just record like a quick, you know, 1 minute clip, and then I just put my phone away. Like, I don't really like have my phone out the whole session anymore like I used to. I just might take, I might have it out for 2 to 3 minutes max, you know, and then that's it. I'll put it away and I'm just, you know, even when I still have my phone, I'm still, you can still hear me talking. Like, I'm just have my phone, you know, right here, but my eyes are just on the kids, you know, and I'm talking to them. Even like when I'm recording, like, I'll still, you know, look over here. I have it on the thing, but I'm talking to the kid over here, you know, and trying to help him out. So I don't really try to let it like distract me and the whole session be about, you know, getting it on film. And that's why, like, I have a cameraman too. Like, he can just worry about that, and I'm just worrying about, you know, the kids.
That makes sense, man. Hey, this is pretty good information. Do you have anything else that you think would be helpful to any trainers out there? I mean, you're young, man. You're 22. When do you turn 23?
Turn 23 next year. So I just turned 22 in January.
Golly, yeah. Bro. So yeah. Super young. Any word of advice to anybody who may be in college right now, or anybody who's your age or just starting this thing, on what you would suggest to help them out?
If you are doing this right now and you're young, don't let anybody tell you you can't do it. You know, because I've, trust me, man, I've even had my own parents tell me, like, I can't do this shit. Like, what are you doing? Like, don't ever quit, man. Like, believe in yourself, believe in what you're doing, and keep it pushing, man, because this is possible. You can do it. Before you succeed, you are going to fail. So realize that there's going to be bumps along the road. There's been so many times where I was like, dude, can I even do this? Like, I wanted to quit too. Times where I was broke, making no money, you know? So, and I just never quit. Like Nipsey Hussle said, you know, like, I just never quit, you know? So this is what my shirt says right here. It says Dream Chaser. That's my shirt. You know, I wear it because I am a dream chaser, you know, and I've been a dream chaser since I was in high school. And like I said, I just never quit. Just keep it going.
Man, respect to that vulnerability, and respect, rest in peace to neighborhood Nip the Great.
Yep.
Oh, and last question for you, man. Like, how has, like, it, real deal, how has the playbook, how's Hoops Institute? I know Mark Kennebrew, he's, shout out to him, man, with Kinetic. Him, he's giving away some really great advice. How has the playbook helped you out with what you are doing with your training business?
Man, it's changed my whole business. Like, I can't even tell you, like, yesterday I looked at my income for the whole entire month whole entire year of 2021. And I've made more money in these 4 months than I did when I first started this 2 years ago. So that first full year I went full time, I've already made more money than I did in that whole entire year. And it's only been 4 months of 2021. And it's helped me. Like, it's literally, it's because of the playbook, and it's because of Kinetic, you know, applying those two things and putting them together, it's changed my business, man. And it's awesome. And if you're not on, you know, if you're watching this and you're not, you know, on the playbook, you got to get on it, man, because it's definitely going to take your business to the next level. If this is something that you're serious about and taking your business to the next level.
What did you have before this? What website did you have? And I appreciate you sharing that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had Squarespace. I was using Squarespace.
And imagine, like, your site, it looked clean. What was the challenge there? I mean, you had to do everything yourself pretty much, right? Like, you had to.
Yeah.
It's drag and drop. I never used Squarespace, but what are the differences between, like, that Squarespace and the Wixes and the Weeblies versus the playbook?
That's a good question. I would say it's almost, like, similar, but it's kind of, like, harder to, like, find like a cleaner like look. Like, I feel like the one that got set up through in the playbook for me is phenomenal. Like, I'm trying to like go back and I've looked at my old website, and it's just like, doesn't look as professional, it doesn't look as clean. And there's like a bunch of different features that Squarespace doesn't even have, you know, and the playbook does.
What's really your favorite like. One?
Favorite feature?
Yeah.
Like any feature? Any feature?
Yeah. Any feature that's your favorite feature that's been the most helpful, I would say, in the playbook.
The texting. Texting, getting my own number and being able to text has been the biggest thing. For sure.
Word, man. Gabe, I appreciate the time, man. Thank you for being willing to jump on.
Yeah, for sure, man. Thank you for having me on.
Yes, sir. We got to do this again.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm definitely down to do that.
Yo, hope that podcast gave you some value. If it did, please rate, review, and subscribe to this. It only makes the podcast better. I read every single one. And at the very least, go join our group. You'll see the link in the description of this episode, and I will catch you on the next one.